While Paris is its dominant city, the rest of France makes it arguably the most diverse country in all of Europe. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, tour guides from France help us recognize the local character of different corners of their country. It's as big as Texas, but with regional variations that give each area a unique feel and flavor. In just a bit, we'll learn what massive stone circles can tell us about prehistoric times in Brittany. And in more recent centuries, the aristocracy left their own trail of stories and scandals among the elegant palaces of Chateau country in the Loire Valley. To help us explore France as a mosaic composed of many colorful parts, Virginie Moret joins us right now in our studio from her home base in Brittany. We're at 877-333-7425. Virginie, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Bonjour.
I was introducing France as big, but also varied.
Definitely. Once you step out of Paris, no matter where you go, you're going to meet different people. I'm from a region of France, northwest of France, Brittany, and we are very, very different from people who live in southern France, Provence. Especially those two regions are very, very different for the people who actually conquered those places. We had the Greek who came to southern France. Massilia, the city of Marseille, was founded by the Greek a long time ago. So they brought their aspect of culture. And if you look at northwest France, Brittany, we had lots of people from Great Britain coming. So you definitely see different culture. Now, if you look at Alsace, you're going to obviously see an aspect of France that you don't see anywhere else, the German aspect. Close to the Pyrenees, we have Spain. So France is very varied, like you just said.
And when you think about if we can all envision the map of France, of Europe, and then we think of the countries all around, you do have that spillover. And just to review, you know, of course, Wales and Ireland and Scotland are Celtic. Cornwall in England
Definitely.
Is Celtic. And you've got Celtic cousins right there in France.
Definitely. And we actually speak a language, which is Breton, which is not spoken a lot, not as much as, you know, Irish in Ireland or Welsh in Wales, but it's very similar to Welsh. It's a language that before World War II, actually, many people still spoke it.
Wow. And even today, while the language may be gone, the cuisine and the traditions and the culture still has that Celtic flair. If you go over towards Germany, I mean, historically, Alsace, which is clearly in France now, has been disputed. Alsace is bordered by the Vosges Mountains and the Rhine River. And, you know, the Germans would like the Vosges Mountains to be the border, and the French would like the Rhine River to be the border. So what do you have in the middle?
Well, you do have a different place where they actually speak a different language, where the signs are different. They actually speak Alsatian. Most of the food for me when I go to Alsace is very different. It has nothing to do with what we can eat in Brittany. The signs on the streets are different too. So you get to practice your German when you're in Alsace. And this is a great mix because you understand the history. Germany and France, they have strong links nowadays. But you get to understand the disputes, the wars we had in between and how the place...
Because for centuries, Alsace would go back and forth between France and Germany, depending on who won the last war.
It did, definitely. And some people were enrolled in World War I in the German army. And actually, they had siblings in the French army.
Whoa. And today, the consequence is you get this mix where you got your sauerkraut and your wurst and your sausages with fine French finishings.
Definitely.
Now, let's go south. And I think of Nice, you know, in the Côte d'Azur. Nice is a very French town to me, but actually, it's Italian, too.
It's Italian. It was Italian until the late 1800s. And the atmosphere is definitely different.
So they actually had a vote when Italy was uniting, I think. And,
exactly.
And they asked the people in that area, okay, Italy's going to be a united country. This is 1870. And do you people here want to be with France or Italy? And they chose France.
They chose France because France was a country that was stronger at the time. So they
right.
had a choice between chaotic Italy or strong government friends. Where would you go? Well, safety first, right?
I think that's probably us. If you're risk averse back in
yes.
the 1870s, you'd go with France. And then if you move a little bit to the west along the Mediterranean coast, you find bullfights in France.
The bullfighting in France is different than the bullfighting you have in Spain. In the fact that in France, we actually do not kill the bull at the end.
Sort of a cultural connection with Spain just
Definitely
south
also.
Of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Virginie Moret. We're talking about France, her home country. We're going to talk a lot about the different regions, but let's just open it up here. I'm going to tell you the name of a region that we've all heard associated with the cuisine or something. But tell me just in one sentence how a French person would characterize the people of that region or the culture. When I say Bordeaux.
Bordeaux, you would have the little villages with the castles, and you would have really relaxed people living the old way.
Traditional people.
Traditional.
Burgundy.
Burgundy, very similar to Bordeaux, but enjoying a lot of not heavy food, but the cold cuts, all of the culinary...
And Burgundy is the area closer to Switzerland.
Switzerland, yes.
Yeah. Loire.
The castles of the Loire Valley.
All right. And when I say Normandy, what do you think?
Normandy, I think about the crème, the beurre, all of those rich food that makes the French cuisine.
Oh.
Tarte Normande, Normandy pie, all of that rich food that we love to
eat. I'm seeing a pattern here. I'm seeing a relationship to cuisine for all of these places.
This is France.
That's France, Provence.
Provence, the smell. The smell and the colors, I would say.
The colors, what colors?
The colors. We had painters who are not French, like Van Gogh.
That's Van Gogh. He went down there for the light and for the colors.
And he definitely changed his way of painting by moving to southern France. When he was in Paris, it was darker colors.
Kind of dark, you're right. And then, go to Provence, it's an explosion of life, of color.
It's everywhere.
And then next to that, we have the Riviera, the Côte d'Azur.
Côte d'Azur, which is the... It's the Florida of France, where you get all of the people on the beach.
And the resorts, the Saint-Tropez.
Definitely. Don't go there in the summer.
No, it's just a sunburned traffic jam from my experience. Dordogne.
Dordogne, relaxed. Yeah. Really relaxed places.
British people love to go down to the Dordogne.
Yes.
Why do the British go to the Dordogne?
Well, they like it now, but we were during the Hundred Years' War.
That's right.
They were here too for different reasons.
They were here for a long time. They were not tourists.
So maybe that's a remnant of this era.
And we've talked about Alsace, which would be the Germanic part of France. So there's just a quick review. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Virginie Moret. We're talking about France. Our phone number is 877-333-7444. And Monique's on the line in Boston, Massachusetts. Monique, thanks for your call.
Hi, thank you. I'm interested in learning more about some of the regional contrasts between Brittany and Normandy. And I went to France this past summer, and before we left, I had read that the ownership of Mont-Saint-Michel had alternated between Brittany and Normandy at different times in history. And I was interested in hearing more about that and the differences between those two departments that, as an American, they both seem coastal and sort of similar in some ways to me, but I know they're not.
That's a very good point. And Virginie, first of all, explain about Mont-Saint-Michel, because it is sort of on a piece of disputed land there.
Definitely. And next time you go, maybe you can take a shovel and dig the riverbed and make it change. Actually, the course of the river made the Mont-Saint-Michel go from one region to another. So at some point it was... In Brittany.
Oh, so the way the river went.
The Quinault River.
So the river is the border between Brittany and Normandy, and the river would change because Mont-Saint-Michel is in the mouth of the river.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever way the main body of the river goes, it'll be either Mont-Saint-Michel in Normandy or Brittany. And Mont-Saint-Michel, you got to say, is the biggest touristic draw in either Normandy or Brittany.
Definitely.
So there you go. It's very important. And right now, Mont-Saint-Michel happens to be by about 100 yards on the Normandy side.
And it will stay for a long time now, I think.
Because they've firmed that up, haven't they?
It is definitely
so,
in Normandy.
Get used to it, Brittany. So, but then Monique was asking about the cultural differences because Normandy was settled by the Vikings, the Northmen. And it was from there where he had the Norman invasion of England back in 1066. And Brittany, of course, is settled by Celtic people, like the people of Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. So they're both not pure French in a historical way. How would you describe Normandy compared to Brittany?
Definitely. In Brittany, you're going to see a lot of Celtic sites. We have famous one like Carnac.
So if you want the Stonehenge kind of prehistoric
this
wonders on the continent, you go to Brittany.
You would go to Brittany.
And if you want World War II attractions and memorials, you would go to Normandy.
You would go to Normandy,
if you want
definitely.
The Bayeux Tapestry, and Bayeux is a beautiful town, you'd go, and Mont-Saint-Michel. Almost barely, you would go to Normandy.
Definitely. And the agriculture is really important in this part of France. We have the perfect weather, we have the rain, we have some sunshine too, obviously. But if you go to Brittany, they've done what we call the remembrement, which means that they've removed the ditches to have big fields, so it was easier for the farmers to actually cultivate the land. When you go to Normandy, you see more trees, you see more ditches. So it does give a different aspect, I would say, more like England, maybe in Normandy.
So Normandy is a little more quaint and pastoral, would you say?
Yes, I would say.
All right. There you go, Monique. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Happy travels. So, Virginie, this is interesting to me because most of us travelers, we go to Paris, and that's our springboard for France. And you get this sense, like we have in the United States, the New Yorker map, where you've got New York and the Hudson River and then the Mississippi, and then it's the end of it. In France, I get a sense it's the same way. To the Parisian perspective, it's Paris and a bunch of farmers, you know. What is the Parisian view of the rest of France and the rest of France's view of Paris?
Well, Paris is definitely seen as the New York of France. If you come from Brittany, actually, right after World War II to work as a maid in France or even before World War II, you were seen as coming with your big sabots, which are the big clawed shoes. Yeah. And you were seen as, the rural person, not too educated. But actually, you know, big chunk of people who are called nowadays Parisians are actually from Brittany or other parts of France. So even though it's like New York in that case, it also is like New York in the fact that, you know, Parisians are people from different places of France, and that's what makes Paris such a nice city with nice
people. And if you know where to go in Paris, you can eat the great cuisine of every region of France, obviously.
Definitely.
And the new change in the infrastructure makes the beaches of Normandy an easy holiday getaway.
Hours away.
You're just a couple hours from Marseille with the TGV and to go to Brittany for a quick weekend.
The train is very easy to take, and you can discover, definitely, don't just go just to Paris. No, it's like going to New York and saying, I've been to the US. That's all I've seen. No, you actually have to go other places. And it's very easy to do in France. The distances are pretty small.
And Virginie, if we go to your region, Brittany, and you're our tour guide, what's the one experience you'd want to make sure we had so we appreciated the beauty of your corner of France?
Well, we'll definitely have to learning how to make a crepe, because even though you can have crepe with Nutella in Paris, if you want to learn how to make them, you could actually go to the place where they originated.
So Brittany, the place for the true crepe.
Definitely.
Virginie, thank you so much for a look and a better understanding of the many facets of France.
Thank you. Kenavo, which is goodbye.
Goodbye.
In Breton.
In Breton?
Yes.
Kenavo. Now I know a Breton word. Kenavo.
Kenavo.
Douce France, cher pays de mon enfance, bercé de tendre insouciance, je t'ai gardé dans mon cœur.
Up next, we explore the elegant chateau country in the Loire Valley. And then it's on to the flinty, rough-hewn landscape of Brittany for world-class sites in archaeology. 877-333-RICK. That's our phone number. And radio at ricksteves.com is our email address for Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.
Oui, je t'aime. Et je te donne ce poème.